Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who we know, for those who we love, and for those who we do not know or love. May it be that they come to know the truth of you, God. With your glory and goodness, we pray for all to have relation with you through Jesus Christ and to live forever in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, so much is going on in the world, and in a minute we'll talk about it, but I wanted to take a minute or two to talk about Bible truth and our eternal destiny. We know what awaits us when we have a reflection with God and Jesus in the kingdom of God, because we read Scripture and we have a pretty good idea. Now, there's so many Christians who know of what is truth, and they believe it so strongly that they are willing to be persecuted for the truth of God, and they are even willing to die for that truth, for the sake of our God and for the gospel to go out to the world. Well, God is God the Father, Jesus of Nazareth, and the Holy Spirit of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You can read about God and His character in the Bible. He is full of love and justice. Now, because we have all fallen short, we need an offering for our sin, which Jesus gives us when we accept His free gift and change our sin pattern of living. And thus we become born into a new spiritual pattern of life. And we have thankfulness for this, and we want our life to reflect the love and the goodness of Jesus. See, that's what happens when we believe. We believe and we show this belief in how we live. I know, I think of Matthew 22, 37, 8, 9. And it says that we are to live and love our God and to love our neighbor. Yes, but read it yourself. Read the Bible yourself. It is a good book to read, and it helps us to get further understanding of God. Now, the Bible has no contradictions in it. Really, there are none. It's a true book, and I know when I was younger, I read some of the other holy books of other religions, and I can say that they have contradictions in them. I would say that the principles and the common practices of other religions are not quite sensible. So if you are going to look at truth, by all means do. I know that many people have looked at many religions and many scriptures, but I sure want you to look carefully at what is true. Look at Christianity. Well, look at the Bible, the truth in the Bible. It is quite different of the Eastern religions. So read that New Testament. Read that Old Testament. Read the Bible and pray. Get an understanding. God will give you understanding if you ask for it. Well, that's my experience, that's for sure. So, just check out those Bible principles. I think you'll like them. I do hope that you read and study the Bible to know that you are following the true God, the true Jesus, because you are responsible for what you understand, for what you search and have your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You are responsible for your eternal destiny. No one else is. Not your mother or your brother or your pastor. Nope. You are responsible for you. And as we go through life, we do search for truth because we don't want to follow a lie. We don't want to follow a liar. No, we want truth. So search it out. I know that life takes us on different paths, and we do learn different lessons from this or from that. Some lessons are easy to learn, and some lessons are hard. And if we are smart, we learn those lessons that life teaches us. And if we are wise, we learn the lessons from the experience of others. Yeah, so as we go through life, we do want to avoid troubles. We do want to avoid pain. And the teaching of the Bible helps us to do that. Here in the United States, especially here, there is a belief that we want to avoid pain. Well, maybe that's worldwide, and so it's just as we live, we don't want pain, but we have mechanisms to protect us here in the United States. We have laws, we have schools that protect us, we have a workplace that is required to protect us while we work. And the government rules and regulations, laws, and all that are designed to keep us safe and free of pain. Some even protect us from our own stupidity. Well, that's why there's so many warning labels on things, to protect us. I know it's a question. How could we not figure out that our feet should not go under a lawnmower, or our hands should not be where there is moving machinery or even kitchen devices? Of course we know these things. We know that lasers ought to not be pointed at eyes, and guns ought to not be pointed at people. And cars ought to not be driven by people who have a marginal impairedness or drunkenness. So, we know these things, but we have to live like we know them. It's a part of the safety that we all have within us to look after ourselves. It's self-protection, and it's also compassion for others. That's a part of the great commandment. It's to love your neighbor, and that's to have compassion for them. Yes, throughout life, we do learn these lessons. A big part of life is keeping yourself safe and in mentally and physically so that we don't have pain. Of course, society teaches that to our children also. And if you've talked with people, you know that's true. You know that people in jail think that that the time they spent there was not their fault, it was someone else's fault. And that's a part of how we are to keep responsibility for our own actions, you see? Jail, isn't that something? There's over 2 million people who are incarcerated in the United States. I think that for the most part, they would say it wasn't their fault. But we have to learn that things are our fault and our responsibility. And that's a part of how we learn the lessons of life. But so many people in jail and prison is a great big expense to our society, both in money and in life energy, and how our population's energies could be put to good use. So, yeah, we want to have things used well and not wasted. Those are a part of the life lessons that the Bible shows us. And as we learn to follow biblical morality and biblical principles, our life is improved, our life is better, and we have a more satisfying life. It's something to look back on your life. I think of people who have lived, and we have their examples. We also have examples of people who die at an untimely part in their life. People die young, people die old. Yes, death is a part of life, but we have those examples of people we know or famous people, and a lot of times their death is tragic. But death comes to all. I looked at these figures from the Center of Disease Control, and I saw that every year, on the average, 38,000 people die from automobile accidents, 56,000 die from the flu, 69,000 die from drug overdoses like opiates, and NBC reports that 250,000 people die every year from doctor and hospital mistakes. So, yes, people do die. That's a lot of deaths, by the way. 650,000 or more in those categories I just said. But every year in the U.S., 2.8 million people die. It's natural to die. And it's natural to feel the sense of loss when somebody you know dies, or someone famous like Kobe Bryant, or when somebody gets cancer, like Rush Limbaugh, or the countless other people who we know, who we care about, people who we love. We cannot stop illness and we cannot stop death, but we can influence people who we know, and sometimes people who we don't know, so that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ and they don't go to hell. So spread the good news of the gospel, and also support Christian ministries and missionaries. Yes, support your local Christian outreaches as well as the overseas missions. Your prayers make a huge difference for this, and so do your dollars. Support the people who are putting their lives on the line as they promote the kingdom of God and salvation for the souls of mankind. Support them in prayer and financially. There's still people in this world that bring Bibles into lands where a complete Bible is forbidden. And there are still missionaries that spread the good news of the gospel to far-off lands. If these missionaries were found out, they could very well go to prison for some years. They're putting their lives on the line to spread the good news of the gospel. And you can help these people very greatly by praying for them and by having a financial support. So really do try to remember people in prayers, remember mission in prayers, missionaries too, and then really do try to put a few dollars their way so that you are doing an active part in God's kingdom. Your local church can help you to direct your dollars to missionaries. And don't forget, there can be missionaries in this country as well as overseas. I know there are people who bring Bibles into countries that are overseas where a complete Bible is illegal. These groups are harder to find, but there are a few. And if you seek them out, you will find them. That's like Hebrews 11:6. And it says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you can diligently seek God. You can diligently seek these groups that are bringing Bibles into foreign lands. Anyway, I think the main point here is that we want the world to know about Jesus, and we want them to be saved from the fires of hell. See, death is a certainty. At one point or another, we all die. Hell or heaven, we have a choice in. And we want to prevent suffering also. We want to prevent untimely death. And I have observed that Christians have more compassion and empathy for people who are in a difficult way than the non-Christians do. So it's a generality, but I think it's quite true. So we want to support those people who have a compassion and empathy for other people. These days, there is a lot of concern about the coronavirus that is spreading. If you listen to the news, it is spreading by thousands or by tens of thousands. It's something that is still being studied right now. We don't know quite what it is or what it means. We know that the United Nations World Health Organization, that's WHO, World Health Organization, they are saying that 20-some thousand people are now infected with that coronavirus. And as for how many died, so far it's something over 500. I just went over those numbers about how many people die from what, and 500 people is not a lot of deaths to be concerned of, but everybody is concerned about that coronavirus. Why? Because it's an unknown factor, I think, and we don't quite know how it came about or what it's going to do. So we fear that. And China, it started in China, and China has for decades had a history of keeping information to themselves, not telling what's been going on truthfully to the world, especially if that information would make China look bad in the eyes of the world. So the point here is that by all appearances, China lies. And China has told big lies, apparently even about the coronavirus. So how much trust do we put in the information that we get from China? Good question. It's not like I know the answer, but I think it's good to question information. Now, many other countries also twist the truth. Yeah, they lie. And so China, this is not something for just China. We have to question what we hear from all sources, whether they're a government source or a foreign government or anywhere. We need to question the information that we hear and try to discern how truthful it is. That's just life. We get twisted information from many sources, even people we deal with regularly. You cannot force somebody to tell you the truth, and you can't expect a foreign country to tell you the truth either. So about China and that coronavirus, well, it suddenly came about, and it suddenly became real, and it suddenly spread really almost worldwide. It concerned so many people, including the Chinese government, that over there they have quarantined 15, 16 cities where no one can leave. That affects about, it started with 10 million people, but now in China there are about 40 million people who are quarantined. So yeah, people are concerned everywhere. In China, they're concerned. In this country, they're concerned. And there could be a very good reason for that. Oh, and let me just say that if we had to be quarantined in this country, you might want to have a supply of food and the ability to clean your water, you know, a water filter plus water storage. Remember, you can get my free list about that, but have some supplies for just in case something happens here. In Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus first broke out, that city has a population of about 11 million people. And it was put on lockdown, on quarantine. And for some weeks, it has been reported that the food supplies are now getting low. And so they're concerned about that. That brings me back to being prepared. You want to have some preparedness supplies. See, over there, when people needed supplies, I would surely think that supplies were no longer available. And that happens just normally and naturally in the case of an emergency event. You can listen to people who are in Wuhan, China, and they are saying that the streets that are always, always jammed with traffic are now practically empty, with only an occasional car on it, only the occasional bicyclist, only the occasional person walking to get groceries or some other supplies. So the streets of Wuhan are deserted. Now, could that happen here? Well, yes, it could. It not only could happen, it kind of did happen for the 1918 Spanish flu influenza outbreak. It was an epidemic across the United States. 1917, 1918, those were some pretty hard years for the United States of America. It left 675,000 Americans dead. That's in this country. 675,000 people died from that Spanish flu epidemic. And across the world, it left 50 million people dead. So yes, we ought to remember that these things can happen. Could they happen again? Of course they could. Not only that, but 20 years ago, before 20 years ago, there were numerous tries to identify that Spanish flu influenza virus. But 20 years ago, the scientists were so pleased to have discovered that virus in the person of a body. In the body of a person who had died during that 1918 flu epidemic. They had been buried in the permafrost soil of Alaska, and the virus was still alive, and those scientists were so glad to have discovered a live flu virus from the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918. So shocking, isn't it? They were surprised to find it, but so pleased. So very pleased. What are they thinking anyway? Well, that Wuhan, China, a coronavirus, is of a concern because the scientists have been examining these viruses and if they had a place in warfare for many years now, many decades. It's just what biological warfare community does. They research these things, and in Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus was first broken out, it is notable that there is a BS4 rated biohazard research lab there. That biohazard research lab is one of the most, protected ones in the world, and that's the level that it's at. There's several of them, but that one was opened in 2014, and there's a question of whether or not it had proper construction. There's a question as to whether the construction was actually completed on that safety level 4 facility. Well, was it? I'm not sure. But it just goes to show that these bio-level 4 research laboratories might have things escape from them. And that's a question about what happened here with this virus. Because at that time, for the last several years, 4 years, they have been studying tick-borne hemorrhagic fever viruses. And that, they say, is pretty close to what the coronavirus is about. We don't know, but we search for answers. And we try to put together the things that we do understand to try to understand what just might be coming. So we look and we look and we try to understand. We try to make sense of things that we really don't know about, but we get little pieces of information and then we keep trying to figure out. I know there is one scientist who has been saying that the sequencing of that coronavirus RNA, DNA, it indicates that there is a regular pattern to it that is similar to what a scientist researcher would put together if they were going to create a virus. So do you have a question here of whether it occurred naturally or if it was created? And there are researchers who say it both ways. We don't know. But we can surely listen to what people say. And there are people who are also saying that it is similar to what happened in 2002 and 3 with the SARS outbreak in Asia and China. Yeah, we don't know, but we wonder. Rumors are just that. They are rumors. And we can pay attention to what we do understand and try to figure things out. There is a great race to search out technology that would be used for warfare with these viruses. And those laboratories are all over the world. Yes, in China. Yes, in the United States, Europe, Africa, all over they are. So we can just kind of question what's going on and wonder about it. We do have the different scientists who are searching out technology and research. Oh, and they are stealing it too. You know that China has a reputation for stealing the technology of the United States. Yes, that's their mode of operation. And lately it has been shown that China is paying university researchers $1 million or even millions of dollars so that they have their research funded. And then China gets a hold of a little more technology. Maybe you've heard of the hackers that are also government-sponsored by China. And we hear about little things here and there. It's not that we know the whole story, because we don't. But here and there we get information. In 2019, there was a Navy contractor that stated under oath that there were Chinese hackers who had stole the secret plans for their supersonic anti-ship missile that was known as the Sea Dragon. A part of that lawsuit, they also stated that the Chinese hackers also stole the United States Navy's entire electronic warfare library. So, what do you say about all this? I'm not really sure what to say. It's just to acknowledge that things go on, and we don't quite know what it all means. But we should be aware of it. A lot of theft goes on. Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, I read an article about a 48-year-old China-born U.S. citizen who took his secret-level security computer overseas on his two-week trip to Asia. That's certainly illegal, and he got in trouble for it. But it's just one of those things where you put the details together and you just try to understand it. Before he left on his trip, he told his fellow employees that he was quitting his job as an engineer at Raytheon. Well, apparently the Chinese security didn't want him there, and they looked over his secret computer, and then they sent him back to the United States, where he was arrested for illegally taking his secret-level computer out of this country. That was clearly illegal, and he did it. So, with all the things that are going on, you can clearly see that China is not what I would call a friend to our nation, and yet they have most favored nation status in trading. Well, there's a lot going on, and some of that is changing. So, there are different people who have a problem with China. I know that one of them is a Syrian Muslim cleric. His name escapes me at this minute, but he issued a fatwa against Chinese officials because they had called for the death of Chinese Uyghurs who are Muslims, that the government of China had put these Uyghur Muslims into retraining camps, which are kind of like internment camps, and many of them had to stay there for years without any contact from the rest of society or the rest of the world. So, China does things different from the rest of the world. Anyway, different from what our country does. Just, China has a different attitude, and that's for sure. A few weeks ago, a top Chinese banker at Harong Asset Management in Beijing confessed to accepting bribes. And police raided his apartment. And in Chinese currency, there was an equivalent to $42 million of Chinese currency. So those things go on. And the officials, the authorities in Beijing said that this was an unusual event, but not unheard of. I wonder what else we didn't hear of. So, it's a different country and a different set of everything, the difference between the United States and China. It's not that we don't have corruption here. We do, but it's just different. the whole country, the whole world, there's troubles everywhere. There's troubles, in Iran and Iraq. There are continuing protests where tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people are coming out to protest. That's been going on for weeks in Iran and for months in Iraq. There are hundreds, no, there's thousands, maybe 100,000 protests sometime. And the protesters are sometimes killed by government security forces. Hundreds have died in both of those countries. So we have a situation in the world where tensions are rising. There's people, citizens, who don't like what is going on with their governments. And it is causing a certain level of uncertainty in the world. There's even uncertainty in India. In that country, the uncertainty is causing a scale back of investment in industry. And so the people are getting less money flowing to the workers. And there is a kind of acknowledgement that the people are having to go from 3 meals a day to 2 meals a day in some cases. Now, I'm not in India. I don't know the whole story, but I know that that was reported. And we have to wonder what really is going on. A lot of things we just don't know, but things are going on in the world, and protests and poverty and all of it is going on, and we have to realize that that's the state of our world now, and it's been that way for a while. And this was interesting. In Israel, the Jerusalem Post reported that Rabbi Glazer's son, who is a Bible code scholar, he's written a number of books, like 30 books on different topics, including the Bible codes. But he says that by looking at the Bible codes, he is predicting that Iran will attack Israel this year. So we have things going on. What does it mean? Will it really happen? We don't know. But God knows the timing of events, and God has warned us in his Bible that there are things going on and that we only could do well to prepare for them, because God says they're going to happen. So in his Bible, it says that. Today, we hear so many aggressive words where people and countries are not willing to compromise. And that goes on in the Middle East. That goes on in China, here in the United States too. We can only imagine what is coming, except the Bible tells us. It tells us we're going to have war, rumors of war, famine, disease, and earthquakes. So doesn't it just kind of make sense to you to get some preparedness? Yes, that's what I talk about, because things are going to happen at some point. We just don't have a year attached to it. And in the meanwhile, what do we want to do? We want to tell others the good news of the Bible. There is good news in the Bible. There is hope. There is love. And we can spread that as we talk about Jesus of Nazareth. We have hope in Jesus. We can praise God for what he tells us and how we can interact with other people and show our love for God and for other people. So let's do something about it. Let's do something about it now, at this day and at this time. Each day we can pray, we can speak to other people, and we can support the people who do speak to other people. They're called missionaries, both in this country and in other countries of the world. So consider that, please. We want to have compassion for the rest of the world, and the biggest compassion is that they have eternal life in heaven. So we get reminders in the world that there will be troubles, and we do need to be prepared for this life and for the next life. I know when I grew up, a lot of things were not looked at that were dangers. I grew up kind of protected, and I was raised by parents that had good moral values. So I believe that men, in general, had good hearts and good intentions. But I learned otherwise. Yeah. I think I was about age 30, I was, when an older friend of mine explained to me that there really were groups of men who literally wanted to kill most of the population of Earth. I could not believe that. No, I didn't believe it. But over time, I looked into the information, and over about 3 years of that just getting my attention that I couldn't believe it, but there was evidence. And I did some more research and looked into it. And then I found out that, yes, indeed, there were people that wanted to kill most of the population of the Earth. Still hard for me to believe. Let's see. There were the Georgia Guidestones that were put up in 1980. And the first rule on those Georgia Guidestones was to maintain the Earth's population at 500 million. That's half of a billion people. And you know, at that time, the Earth's population was 4.5 billion people. So that means they had a goal and a desire to eliminate the lives of 4 billion people. Just, I couldn't conceive of that. It was just too hard for me. Now, our young people have been exposed to a whole lot of badness in the world these days. So they get to be more understanding that there are people who want to eliminate the lives of people here on Earth. So in those days, it was eliminate 4 billion people. But today, the population is 7.5 billion people. So that's a whole lot more to eliminate if they stick to their principles. And you know, at that time, there were a lot of people who advocated that principle of huge and drastic human population reduction. There were some notable people who were advocating that. There were things said and rebroadcast or put onto those cassette tapes and distributed. There was Ted Turner who said something. There was Jacques Cousteau who said something. There was Prince Philip of the British nobility who said something. And so, and nowadays there is Bill Gates who is talking about population control or birth control. And on one of those videos, Bill Gates was saying that, I can't quite remember the words, but he was saying that his worldwide vaccination program was advancing population reduction. He never redacted that. He never said anything else about that. So we have to look and see what the information is, how we relate to it, and of course what we want to do about it. And we are left to judge for ourselves what people say and what value to place on those words. Because there are people in high places that have advocated a dramatic reduction in the population of Earth. Quite a thing to say, isn't it? Well, I just think about John 10:10, and it talks about the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Everybody, really. And who is the thief? Just about everybody says that that thief is the devil. And that's the reference, that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I guess the proper order is still kill, steal, kill, and destroy. But that's the characteristic of the force that opposes godliness. And see, there is a battle going on between good and evil, and we are in the midst of that battle. God cast the devil out of heaven because he rebelled, and now the devil wants to hurt God, but he can't hurt God, so the devil will hurt what God loves, and that is us. When the devil gets humans to turn from God, what the devil wants. It hurts God. So how does he do that? Well, one of the ways that we get distracted is by all the things going on around us. Wars, troubles, death. That's how things are distractions to us. 100 years ago, we had the war to end all wars. World War I had just concluded. There are always distractions. 50 years ago, it was drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That was one of the slogans. 25 years ago, it was Bill Clinton saying, "It's the economy, stupid." Yes, and in between, and a little after that, there was the Twin Towers that went down. That impossible collapse was another distraction. We thought about that instead of, well, actually, there was a lot of turning to God at that time, but there were events, and they get our attention. And the Twin Towers went down. A lot of lives were lost. Also, Building 7 went down, which no airplane hit. It's a puzzle, isn't it? Well, we keep getting things that distract us. Was it 12 years ago? Yes, there was the 2008 financial collapse, and that almost collapsed the entire global economy. So, distractions, they happen. And even the policies of President Obama, they were a distraction. I don't know why this didn't get more press, but I remember he addressed the United Nations and he said about the American people that ordinary men and women were too small-minded to govern their own affairs. Wow. Well, anyway, there are events that go on. There are things that distract us, they're in the news, they're with our emotions, with our desires. Lots of distraction. The news distracts us. And so we want to remember to keep our attention on God. And also that great commandment again, to love God and to love our neighbor. We do have information that we are fed, and it is given to manipulate us. I know that there's a couple of videos that I've seen. I'm thinking of two of them. The latest one was about 6 months ago, and they showed about 25 news broadcasters from across the nation, and they were all saying the same exact words, word for word, they were reporting on the same story. And you just wonder, how does this happen? It has to be manipulation. You got tired of hearing those 25 people, but it sure left you with an impression that they were saying the exact words. All across this nation, the same story by different newscasters. There is a plan, and the plan is not an accident. It is to influence all of us. Through the media, we are told things to influence our decisions and our behavior. And we had better be careful. We had better pay attention to what is going on around us, and especially our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose the freedom and independence that we have, that our nation has provided us through our forefathers. And we have to pay attention. That's just what we have to do. We want to pay attention because there are forces that want to destroy us in every way. Destroy us financially, so we have to be financially secure. Probably destroy us with food, lack of food, or destroy us with viruses. There are people who have that principle. Now, they're not many, but they are in high places, and we just have to be aware that we want to protect ourselves from the things that are around us. So you have to keep thinking about all the possibilities and how you will protect yourself. We do get lots of information, but we have to be discerning. And probably a very important part of that is to pray when you hear things. Pray when you are thinking. Pray for God's wisdom. There are a lot of people who want to, shock us or cause us hurt. There's just in every way. And we see that there are people who are deceivers in the world. All over the place there are deceivers. High in our government positions there are deceivers. People who lie. Why, even, a few years ago, we had the retired FBI chief, James Comey. He was saying things that were untrue. And the retired CIA director, John Brennan, he was saying things that were certainly a stretch of truth. And so was the retired director of intelligence, James Clapper. They all seemed to be on the same page of telling things that were not quite true, or even outright lies. So we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of seeking the truth and living the truth. That's just what we have to do. Otherwise, we will be deceived. Be aware that there's dishonesty at every level. And that's a historical fact. It's always been that way throughout history. Yet there are notable exceptions, especially in our country. There was George Washington, the father of our country, so to speak, and he had a reputation that was very good. There was also Abraham Lincoln. Now, he had a nickname called Honest Abe. You know why that is? That was because in 1831, he accidentally overcharged a woman 6 cents. And when he realized that, he walked 5 miles to return the 6 cents to the lady. That is what got him the nickname Honest Abe. Now, in those days, the average wage started at $1 a day. So 6 cents would have made a difference to a family that was trying to make every cent count. That's just the way it was. Anyway, we have people in this country and in this world who have a sense of morality, God's morality, and we want to see that we also have that same sense of godly morality. That is how we preserve the best things in this world in the midst of the problems that we have. We want the best. So let's look at the Bible. Let's look at the Bible for answers to the questions that we might have. Just like our founding fathers did, they looked at the Bible and they found a government structure right in the pages of the Bible. So I think that is a point to close on today, that the Bible has truth, and we want to follow all the truth that we can that is written in the holy book, the Bible. Do not get distracted by all the things that are going on around us. There are plenty of problems in the world, but we want to focus on goodness, the goodness of God, and our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Don't be distracted by all the things of the world that are going on around us. Look to Jesus. That's what we always want to do. So thank you for listening to Christ Today. Be glad for all the joy and goodness that we have in life with and through Jesus Christ. You can listen to any past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase and no spaces. Also, you can get my free preparedness brochure by sending a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for your prayers and your support. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live my life inside your heart.